Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I want to take a quick moment and thank you, Cleaning Nation, for sharing the show, for all the great reviews on iTunes. Keep them coming. I absolutely, believe it or not, I do this 80, 90, 99% because I love you in this community and those the reviews and the feedback I get on the Facebook group. Those are the things that help me keep going. So I really appreciate it. I want to take a moment to thank you and let you know without you, the listeners, this show would absolutely cease to exist tomorrow. Now, if you're listening on the podcast, check out our YouTube channel. If you're one of the many YouTube listeners or subscribers, feel free to take us on the road by subscribing to the podcast. And no matter where you're listening from, growmycleaningcompany.com is going to have everything you need. I just put up an amazing magic tool to grow your cleaning company, a video just for you. If you love the show, you're going to love what you find at growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with April Williams from A&A Cleaning. A&A has been serving the Lakeland, Florida area with commercial cleaning services for more than 25 years. If you want to reach out to April and her team, you get a hold of them at www.A&A Cleaning Inc. April, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Glad to have you on, sister. So how 25 years ago did you wander into Lakeland, Florida and or the cleaning business?
Well, that's, I'd have to say I kind of wandered in from Broward County, Florida, and I got involved with a chain of hotels, which kind of brought my attention to this industry because that's where I started out, quickly learning and growing. One day after various jobs, I just decided that I was tired of living paycheck to paycheck and decided to make a change and just risk it all. So ever since then, I've just been plugging away. I started with one vacuum myself, 15, 20 hours a day.
Wow.
And now we've grown into 33 plus employees and an office staff and so have you.
Well, fantastic. So you said you risked it all and went on your own. How long did it take before you were able to replace your ink? So you went full-time right off the bat. You didn't kind of transition. You just quit your job and said, here we go?
Well, actually, the company I was working for was shutting down, and they offered a little bit of a severance pay to finish it out and help them close their books and so forth because I was in the accounting department. So from there, I just took that little bit of money and a hope and a dream and kept positive and just kept pushing forward. And it took probably less than 6 months to make more than what I was making working for someone else.
That is awesome. I want to encourage you, Cleaning Nation, because they get a lot of people that are doing that in terms of that whole, just that idea of when do I quit my job or how do I make that transition? And I've found over and over and over the people I coach, when they go full time, and again, I hate to push people into that because obviously there's some risk financially. It depends on where you're at, if you've got a family or you know who's depending on you. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's always that risk. There's never not going to be that risk. But most of all, people have to remember without failure, there's no success.
And honestly, so, I can't remember a single client who's ever, I mean, I'm sure this happens all the time, but I haven't had a client that took that risk and said, I went full time too soon and it bankrupted me, right? It's always been some sort of success story. And obviously there's stress involved with that. I'm not saying it's a fun transition, but it's successful. And it sounds like that was your case.
Yes, definitely so. Yes, I don't know anybody either that has started a cleaning business and just gave up, you know, so most of the people I've come across have just retired in it.
Yeah, it's a good,
so
read
all
these.
It's a very good business. It can be very lucrative, but there's a lot of learning steps along the way. And when growth occurs, other things occur. So you have a whole new set of problems as you grow. You know, every time you grow a little bit, there's a new problem to face and to figure out, a whole nother stage of the business.
Yeah, it never gets boring. We were just, April and I were just talking before we hit record that when you're first starting, that $0 to $10,000 a month in revenue is a very different feeling and skill set than that 10 to 40, 40 to 100. And then once you get into seven figures, multiplying that, it's almost like you have to reinvent yourself and your skill set every time you do that. And just Clean Nation, that's in every business, not just the cleaning business. That's just common. All right, April, I am loving your story. I want to make sure I can give you some value. What's going on in your world and your company that I can give you some help with today?
What's going on with our company is we are experiencing some really great growth, and with great growth comes the need for implementation of new things for employees and for the company. We're looking at safety. We would like to develop a safety program and get it implemented. And then we would want to know how often do we need to reiterate the program to the employees to keep it fresh in their mind so that they're always thinking safety.
Okay, and that's a great question. Shockingly, we've been doing this for hundreds of episodes, years now, and I would have think someone would ask that question every 3 months and we'd have done 10 episodes on it. But again, my memory's not perfect, but to the best of my memory, April, I think this is the first safety-only or safety-focused podcast we're going to do. So I'm excited to share that because I know that it's not just helping other cleaners out there, but I mean, hopefully we're helping communities and employees and customers. And if we can, this podcast can save some injuries, then we've done our job for the day for sure. So first and foremost, and people that have listened or are diehard fans of the show are going to probably know where I'm going to start with this, but it always starts with culture, right? Safety is such an integral thing. I don't know. I'm sure it's possible, but I don't know how to take a culture that is not ingrained in safety as a core value, as a foundational belief, and kind of add that on, right? I'm sure it's possible. Yeah. I just don't know how to do it. So do you, and no is an okay answer. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or make you feel bad, but do you have core values that you've already got instituted into your company, April?
Yes, we do. And we will implement them into the safety function of the company.
Yeah. So what are your core values? Because that's where we need to start.
Values are, you know, family, employees, great work relation, you know, all the things that most companies don't create for their people is what we are wanting to do. We want to bring back that employee relationship.
Okay. So first of all, congratulations on knowing your core values. Second of all, I love that. Family, employees, work relations, those are all awesome. The one encouragement that you're not asking, but I just want to throw it out there, not just for you, but for Cleaning Nation, is I would get those really tight. So I've said 1,000 times on the show before, for the last 10 years, my core values personally and for every business I've had, and I've had 3 or 4 or 5 over the last couple of decades, have been have fun, make money, be real, and help out. Specifically, yeah. Exactly. So if you ask an employee that's worked with me 20 years ago, nah, that's not true. 10 years ago, when I finally kind of hammered these in and locked them in, hey, what was, when you worked at Killer Shade or what was your the core values? Hopefully, ideally, more than half, I'm going to go have fun, make money, be real, help out. So I just encourage you to really codify that into a very specific 5 to 10 word, each core value having 2 or 3 words. So it's just exactly the same. Okay. Because you've got a great foundation, but it took you like a paragraph to kind of explain it and have a feeling if we talked more, I'd get them better. So get those down, have fun, make money, be real, help out, but obviously your own core values. So based on family, employee, and great work relationships, the good thing is safety for you is going to flow right out of those core values, right? If you truly care about your employees and you want to have a relationship where it's like, hey, you're not just a pair of hands to make me rich, but you're a human being that I appreciate and I care about on a personal level, and we are here not just to make me rich, but to enrich the community of employees and customers. And it sounds like that's you, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Perfect. So in that, rule one is we can't hurt you, right? Like if you're getting hurt or dying or injured on our work site, then, or when you're here, then we've not loved you. I shouldn't say every other employee, that's terrible, but we are not putting you first. We are not really focusing on that family, right? If your family has entrusted time that you could be spending with your kids, with your wife, your husband, you've entrusted us with your most, you family have entrusted us with one of the most valuable and prized assets, resources,
yeah,
things.
Member.
Yeah. And our job is to take care of you. So that's where I'd first and foremost start is if you really believe in these core values and your family's as important to you, at least as important to you as it is to us, right? Then safety is going to be huge. So I'd start with a safety lifestyle and I'd always come from the core values. So, cause what I have found is an exercise in futility and not enjoyable is trying to get people that don't believe in something to believe in something. If people aren't family oriented, if they don't really want that relationship above and beyond, they're just there for a paycheck, trying to convince them otherwise is, I'd go bang my head against the wall and I think I'd enjoy that a little more. But the flip side is if you've done a good job with your culture and from the short amount of time we've talked, it sounds like you're off to a great start at the very least. and you've got these people, it's very easy to encourage them and put fuel on the fire that already exists. Or if you already have this culture of we care about each other's family, first of all, you're going to say, hey, you are a value to your family, and we agree that your family's entrusted us as a company with you, but the guy or gal next to you has that same family, and we're all taking care of each other. So if you can start with that and pour fuel onto that fire, it'll be far easier than saying, the new thing this month is safety. Damn it, people, we're going to be safe. And I'm sick of you guys. You know, this is, you know, we're bringing down the hammer. And there's, you know, that is, that's like pulling teeth. But if you just kind of understand that they already came to you because they want this lifestyle and this culture and this community and this relationship with each other and with you as a company, and that's why they're there. If you start from that jumping off point, it's a lot easier to move into safety with that direct clear line than just to say, this is the new, you know, from on high. April's come down and saying, this is what we're going to do this month. So questions, comments, or thoughts before I move on?
Nope.
Cool. So the next thing is lifestyle, right? I don't like safety programs. Like, here's our safety program. We have assigned a safety monitor. If you have a safety issue, go, because people never do that.
I need it to be fun.
Yes.
It's like, you know, interactive.
That's my next note here, is fun. Yeah, I've got some ideas of how to do that. So first of all, you're exactly right. It's with speaking, I could get up and just vomit information, and 2 minutes later, people have forgotten. No matter if I gave them the keys of the kingdom, everything they need to build a business, they're going to forget it by the time they leave. But if we tell jokes and there's humor and there's stories and there's interaction, all of a sudden people remember a story that I told 20 years ago, 10 years ago, either speaking for a company or paid or whatever, and they'll bring it back. Whereas never have they remembered a stat or some sort of, you know, business principle, far, far less on that end. So the making it fun is fantastic. Telling stories is fantastic, not just for safety, but for your overall culture. So step one, I'd start cultivating safety stories, good and bad. So here's an example of some, and more good than bad, ideally. Here's an example of somebody doing something right that avoided a potential accident or somebody saw. I tell those stories on a daily, if not weekly basis. Do you have meetings or huddles plan that happen on a scheduled time at this point, or no?
No, we don't. We are in the process of implementing the whole safety program idea.
Okay, so I would
got to that level of service that we actually need to make it a function.
When I'm not talking safety meetings, I'm just talking general meetings. Do you ever have?
Yes, we do have the office meetings on Mondays every Monday.
Perfect. So I don't know that you need. I'm confident you don't need a separate quote unquote safety meeting, as much as that should be integrated. Safety should be integrated into that meeting. In terms of, I always did when my daily huddles, there would be an opportunity for everybody to share a core value that they saw somebody else exemplifying, or a customer, or just share a core value. If they're doing that, I would probably, and you're already doing that weekly, you could also add a safety core value. Give us one example where somebody exemplified a core value, or how you responded to somebody not living in core values and how you responded. And then you could do another one with, give us one that exemplified safety, exemplified core values as it relates to safety. So I'd start with once a week in what you're already doing, right? I don't know that you need to start a whole nother meeting, but you could add some focus to this meeting. Second thing is, for fun, is videos. I'm so surprised that we still, when I was, you know, 20 years ago, when I had my cleaning company, video was very expensive. It was not available. You couldn't edit it. If you could edit it, nobody could watch it. It was just, you know, where, you know, we're going to give them a DVD to take home. It was just, it wasn't like it is now where it's totally free to make. It's told everybody's got a screen everywhere. Editing software is free to virtually free. Figuring out how to do basic. It's just, it's all so easy, and people don't use it. So I would do, you know, and this might even be something you have, if you've ever read Vern Harnish's Rockefeller Habits, it's excellent. They talk about quarterly kind of chunks that you're handing. You might make safety your quarterly theme for this quarter, and you might have a competition with like whoever can make the best skit or video about safety. And it could be, you know, it could be people doing like all breaking all your safety rules and like hurting themselves. They can make a fun video, or and make it however they want, and then give a prize. Make it a $150 prize, or dinner out with you, or dinner, whatever you want to do. Make it a prize. And there's, you know, there's all sorts of stuff that you can do from. First of all, we always had monthly meetings, and that's a great place to have. And in those meetings, everybody got an award. You got an award for the ugliest car. You got an award for, you know, real awards like top salesperson, but ridiculous awards. Some borderline offensive.
We've thought of these like crazy little things that, you know, similar to what you're speaking about, and just for laughs and for fun, you know.
Oh, you would be shocked how I would have an employee, you know, employees that I've had for years, and for whatever reason, I'd be at their house, you know, drop something for whatever one reason or another, and I'm in their house, and an award that we gave 18 months ago, sometimes fun, sometimes serious, would be literally proudly displayed on their mantle. We'd always have me hand them award, someone take a picture, we'd send them the picture, they'd get to keep the award, and the picture of them receiving the award is almost always, it's not like I was at their house as often, but more often than not, I would see, oh my gosh, I had totally forgotten about that, but they have it proud, and I never did this, but I almost bet if I asked their wife or their kids or their husband or their kids, hey, what's this about? They would be able to tell the story, because that made something, right? So if you do that for safety, right, in terms of, you know, the safest employee and the what, and you could be fun to be like the least safe employee, and then you could, you know, the, like, for the least safe employee, the award could be bubble wrap, right? Like, you've got to bubble wrap them before they leave so they don't get hurt, or you could do fun stuff like that where they're going to remember and want to be a part.
Absolutely.
The last piece I've got on that, and then we'll move on to the lightning round, is pay. Anytime you want to modify behavior, it's culture and pay, period.
Yes.
So obviously we'd have to talk more specifically offline as to what this exactly would look like, but I want to at least give the concept to Cleaning Nation and you, of course, April. So
yes,
you've got that.
Yeah, never give raises other than the fact that it should be based on the job that they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm honestly, as it comes to pay, I'm more of a fan of bonuses than I am of raises.
Yes.
Raises are really hard to undo. Bonuses, by nature, are here, you did great, here's some money. And maybe if you do great again tomorrow, you get more money, or next month, or next quarter, whatever the case may be. Whereas a raise is all of a sudden like, oh, I get that. Now I get that just for coming in, right? And if you, so I like bonuses.
Believe me, I've learned some valuable lessons on that as well, so through the years. You know.
Yeah, if you've been doing this 25 years, you've given raises and regretted it, if not immediately, within 3 months, and probably more than once.
yes.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, so, but there's some that you give and you're great with it. I mean, so it goes both ways.
Yeah, but yeah, please don't hear me, Clean Nation, saying raises are a bad thing. I'm just saying they're a very sharp sword that you can do a lot of damage with or a lot of good with. So just be very
Absolutely.
Careful. It's like fire. You can all pay. So that's why I didn't want to get too detailed, because pay is just a double-edged sword. It can really, it will change people's behavior, period. Sometimes the way you want and sometimes the way you don't. But if safety is an issue, some sort of financial tie to the goals you have around safety are going to really be what motivate, especially if they're culture-based and the pay is additional, they're going to be a huge tool. All right, enough of that nonsense. Any questions, comments, or thoughts before we hit the lightning round, April?
No, it's been great on everything.
Cool. All right, let's do this. I'm going to shut my mouth for 2 seconds, give you 3 quick questions, and get some of the benefit of your 25 years of experience for Cleaning Nation. Question 1, what's the best piece of advice you've received, either business or personal?
Business or personal, like I said before, there's always something to learn. There's no success without some failure. So for all of that, you become successful. So never look at failure in a negative way.
All right, perfect.
And always listen to your inner self. Don't listen to other people. Do what you feel is best.
As a business owner, those are wise words, April. Question 2, what's the biggest mistake that you've got 25 years, so I'm sure you've had some doozy. What's the biggest mistake that you've made that we can all learn from?
Never hire friends and family.
Okay. It's that we won't get into it because of time, but I guarantee you there's a story behind that tidbit, maybe a couple stories.
Yeah.
Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something where as soon as this podcast is over, they can go implement for their business or for their lives, but easy to implement to give just a little improvement in their business or lives.
I would have to say that the best area to do something like what you're talking about is to pay some attention to your clients. They really like to know that they're just not a dollar to you, that they're actually a person and a business, and that you respect them and show them you care. Call them up and just say, hey, you know, I just wanted to check in with you, and I know it's been a few weeks since we talked. How's everything going for you? And then how's the cleaning going? You know, don't always be so business oriented that you forget, you know, talking is one of the best aspects you have for your business.
Yeah, and the reality is, even for those of you that are just in commercial cleaning, a company has never, ever, ever purchased your cleaning services, ever. There are people that work for those companies that you've built a relationship, and they have made the decision to buy your cleaning company or buy your cleaning services. So I couldn't agree more. If we were selling to quote unquote companies, we can just treat them like companies or like another number. But when we're selling to humans, it's a whole different game. Cleaning Nation. Go ahead, April.
And with that, you just there's going to be both sides. There's going to be people that need more than your average daily attention. I mean, there's going to be clients that want a repetitive conversation with you on a weekly basis. So you just have to stretch yourself and learn how to handle it.
Well, and it can be fun, right? We've all heard that
it's great fun. It's learning. It's getting to know people, and it develops you as a human, you know?
Couldn't have said it any better. Won't even try. April, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow, all of your 25 years of experience. I appreciate you. I know the Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you'd like to check out April's show notes page and check out the special video I made just for you, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.